Welcome, Mr. Berger.
All right, I call the House Rules Committee to order. Ms. Williams, could you take the roll, please?
Chair Skies.
Here.
Vice Chair Casey Knutson.
Here.
Vice Chair Ferris Olson.
Here.
Representative Abbott.
Here.
Representative Beard.
Here.
Representative Burgley.
Here.
Representative Bishop.
Here.
Representative Gunderson.
Excuse.
Representative Hamilton.
Here.
Representative Harvey.
Here.
Representative Rhonda Knutson.
Here.
Representative Lenz.
Here.
Representative Patelis.
Here.
Representative Regeer.
Here.
Representative Sheldon Galloway.
Here.
Representative Stuart Paraguay.
Here.
Representative Sullivan.
Here.
Representative Cheetah.
Here.
And Representative Usher.
Here.
Thank you, Ms. Williams. We have a quorum, and the House Rules Committee is going to get some work done. I need to find the sponsor. I talked to the good senator who's carrying this bill. He's going to introduce all their changes. And so if it's okay with the committee, I'm just going to hold us, just stand at ease until we can round up the good senator, because we can do nothing on SJR1 until we find him. And I've got them looking for him. So we'll just stand at ease for a few minutes, please. Senator Smith, can you double check to make sure your microphone's on? Check the button on the base, because it sounds a little weak.
You're right. I was not on.
Excellent. So can you restate so everybody online can understand what you just said, please?
I'm Senator Kerry Smith from Senate District 27, and we're here to discuss Senate and House joint rules. And the amendments that we've added to the bill are, there's two basic ones. We've given the majority an additional priority bills. We haven't taken any away from the Democrats, but we've added more for the Republicans. And then we have taken and made a change in here where if we have a situation where a department brings a rule to us and that rule ties on a vote, because all those committees are the same number of Democrats as Republicans, then we take and have a tiebreaker and there's on there. And that allows a member of leadership to take and break the tie in there. I'm only talking about administrative rules. So those are the two major changes we've made to the bill. Vince, you folks heard it in the joint committee hearing. And I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Senator. Excellent job. Brevity is the soul of wit. Members of the committee, we're running this just like a regular committee, so are there any proponents? We're asking for proponents on Senate Joint Rules number 1. And Ms. Tyson, since I haven't set this up, I see no attendees that would like to have their hand raised. Is that true? Is there nobody online?
That is correct, Chair.
Excellent. Proponents, I'll make one final call. Seeing no proponents, are there any opponents to SJR1? Opponents? Seeing none in the room. Ms. Tyson, I see nobody online. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Ms. Tyson. So there is no opponents. Here's going to be the funny call. Are there any informational witnesses for SJR1? Any informational witnesses for Senate Joint Resolution number 1? All right. We are now going to jump to questions from the committee to the bill sponsor. Any questions from the committee? Representative Regeer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Question for the sponsor.
Senator Smith.
Yeah. Senator, on page 4, line 11, we're under the section where it says legislator participation during session. It says the panel can determine when to limit or exclude members from physical participation. Has that gone through any legal review? I don't know. On excluding a duly elected legislator from physically coming to participate?
There has been no legal thing. Excuse me, Mr. Chair, Representative. There has been nothing legal that we've talked about on that. Let me just look at that again. Where you're on page 4 and...
Mr. Chair...
Representative Regeer.
Line 11.
11.
And Senator, this is obviously not a change. This was before us before. That was why the question.
That is correct. So I guess the question would be, has anything come up to challenge that or any additional concerns on it? Not that I'm aware of. What we have tried to do in every case, though, is over on the Senate side anyway, and I'm not quite sure what's taken place over here with the COVID panel, and we've had members of the House with us there also. Representative Knutson's been sitting on that. We've talked about what we can do to make sure the public has as much access as possible to take and testify on bills, and whether that's live or in person, how do we accommodate, as well as making sure that any legislator that's out there, how do we make sure that we accommodate that too. And I don't think we've run into any kind of a situation where we've said we're limiting what somebody can do. Most of the limitations that we talk about is public testimony, just trying to deal with what happens if we were to have 100 people or something like that want to testify on a bill. And so far, I haven't seen that take place anywhere where we've had to be concerned about that. I'm not sure if that has been a problem over in the House or not, but that's probably the best answer I can give you on that, unless you can tell me of some situations you're thinking of over in the House where we're running into those problems. Things seem to be working pretty well. It's not something we've actually had to address with the panel on what's going on in this case.
Did that answer your question, sir?
Just quick follow-up, I guess, to clarify, Mr. Chair.
And you may re-refer to maybe Mr. Everts or maybe even Representative Knutson, who's been at those meetings, so whatever, to help you answer the question.
Yeah, maybe for Mr. Everts then, Mr. Chair.
Excellent. Mr. Everts, do you want the question restated, please, or did you hear it?
Mr. Chairman, I think I heard it. Mr. Chairman, Representative Regeer, you're basically asking whether the panel would have the authority to exclude a legislator from physical participation with respect to the COVID emergency. Is that the question?
That's correct.
Okay. Yes. I was asked to take a look at this on whether the legislature would have the authority and the authority to delegate that to the panel. And under Article 3, Section 2 of the Montana Constitution, continuity of government, The legislature would have that authority during a time of emergency with respect to COVID-19 to exclude a legislator from physical participation. And obviously, the legislature has accommodated legislators to participate remotely. But if, for example, a legislator was to test positive and would need to quarantine, you know, the legislature could, under this provision, you know, make that requirement to exclude that legislator from physical participation. Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Everts. Representative Regeer, did that answer the question?
Mr. Chair, what was the Article 3 again?
It was Article 3, Section 2, and it was a continuity of government. And I believe the specific section he's referring to is the second sentence. The legislature may enact laws to ensure the continuity of government during a period of emergency without regard for other provisions of the Constitution. Is that correct, Mr. Everts? Is that the part you're specifically referring to?
Yes, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you.
Does that answer your question, sir? Or you want to re-refer or continue to delve down there?
That answered it for now. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Awesome. Representative Stuart Paraguay.
Mr. Chair, I was just going to go further clarification, but Mr. Everts has answered.
Excellent. So that answered your question? All righty. Are there any other questions from the committee for the bill sponsor? All right, seeing none, sir, would you close on your bill, please?
Yes, I'd be glad to. Again, I was able to reference the page here. It was on page 20 where we've changed the amount of the priorities from 20 to 38 for the majority party. We did not reduce the amount for the minority party. And then I'm looking for the section where we had it on the rules. And I can't seem to locate that right now, but that is the other provision that we changed was what do we do in a case where we have a tie vote on an administrative rule? And that question had come up again. We're not talking about bills that we're proposing. We're only talking about when there's an administrative rule. And the common thing that we've run into before is we would have a bill that maybe failed, and all of a sudden then we see the department issuing a rule that would be essentially the same thing. And so that's to prevent that from happening. And those are the two changes we made over in the House, or Senate, before we brought it to the House. Mr. Chairman.
Excellent. Thank you, Senator. And for members of the committee, my good vice chair found it. It was page 16, I believe, section 3, which would have been under, I believe, it's committees. Yep, committees, chapter 30. So sub 3, if everybody sees that.
Yep, there it is. Thank you.
Yes, sir. All right. Thank you, Senator, for your time. We appreciate it. Have a good day, sir.
And again, I apologize for keeping everybody waiting.
That's okay. Thank you, sir. All right, members of the committee, if you notice up on the board, I had SJR1 as our first bill, and now we're going to jump to executive action on SJR1. And with that, are there any questions? Actually, Mr. Vice Chair, could you do us the honor of moving the motion, please?
Yeah, Mr. Chair, I move a do concur on Senate Joint Resolution 1.
Excellent. Catch on the concur. All right, we have a motion before us. Discussion on the motion. Representative Abbott.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So I don't think it'll surprise anyone that I'll be opposing these for the same reasons that I've opposed them in the past. But I did want to just point out that the change that was made on page 16 in sub 3 really seems like a solution in search of a problem. We have the ability to object, and we have the ability to pull the legislature on legislative intent. And in fact, the incident over the interim, when that happened, enough legislators objected that we were going to execute a poll for legislative intent, and the executive actually withdrew the rule. So our policy worked the way I think it should have, and I think this is pretty unnecessary. So just a new quibble from me. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Madam Minority Leader. Let's jump to Representative Usher. Did you have your hand up, sir? Oh, sorry. Let's go to Representative Regeer. Did you have your hand up, sir?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So I believe there are a lot of good things in this, but I see where the continuity of government during emergency, I didn't see in here where the COVID panel goes away. Does it go away during, and maybe I missed that, but I think for a COVID panel to have the ability to exclude us physically from coming and representing our 10,000 constituents is a giant step. I would even go as far as in Article 5, we've got organization and procedure. It takes two-thirds of a member to expel a legislator. I just see this as a wrong precedent to be set here, just for a COVID panel to be able to say, six people, you can't come here anymore. That seems like a big step for me. So I'm gonna be voting no for this, even though I realize there's a lot of other good things in here and a lot of other good things we need. But to me, that's a monumentous change. So.
Thank you, Representative. And if the committee would mind, I'd love to jump on that, because I was thinking the same thing. And if we do look, I was going to, if you remember in our joint rules, I wanted to put a sunset on this. So it technically exists on page 34. It's the tenure of joint rules. The joint rules remain in effect until removed by a joint resolution or until a new legislature is elected and takes office. So they remain in effect until the very first day of the next legislative. This whole thing goes away. Now, obviously, we can do a temporary move at that point, just like we always do, to adopt these rules as they are, or we could do a pre-introduction and the joint rule committee can then work on it from that point. So that's at least one point. We know they disappear on that first day. Your second point on the two-thirds, remember in our joint rules, because we had a discussion and legislative intent is a big component to everything we do. We have it on record that the authority of the joint rules of the COVID panel is to the joint rules. And so if the COVID panel makes a decision that we disagree with as a joint rules committee, we can immediately call a joint rules committee and we have the authority to either uphold or rescind that maneuver. And so there is a remedy in the rules for us to be able to take anything the COVID panel does. Because you remember the discussion we had. I made sure that it was understood that the COVID panel operates under the authority of us. We have the authority over them. And so I think that's a perfect remedy in that we could easily call that. And you bet, that's a huge thing to me as well, telling a legislator that they cannot participate. And as chair of this committee, I would definitely call this and we would work with Senator Smith. And so hopefully that kind of alleviates your concerns. I know that we have that remedy is all I'm trying to tell you. Representative Regeer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you for clearing that up. However, that still is just 51, right? 51%, so you have 51 people that don't like Jimmy. He's out. So I still think you're lowering that standard. This is a big change. It's a big change under the guise of emergency. So I know I've said my piece, but we'll leave it at that.
Excellent. Thank you. Representative Ferris Olson. I'm sorry, Vice Chair Ferris Olson. I apologize, sir.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. I appreciate it. I'm sure this doesn't surprise anyone, but I'm also opposed to the bill because I still don't think the COVID-19 panel has been all that effective. I don't think we've really seen any changes come out of it. And in the meantime, this community, my community, Lewis and Clark County, has seen 31 deaths since we had our first Rules Committee meeting in December. And so as long as we're in this public health crisis, I think we need to be proactive and not reactive in this. These joint rules are just as reactive as they were the first time we talked about it. So I'll be opposing it. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Vice Chair. Representative Usher.
Mr. Chair, I just wanted to actually concur with Representative Regeer. Although you say that you'll convene a meeting if we don't agree, but if you look at the COVID panel, we all work for them. They are our leadership, so they have their own remedies that they can make or break what we do. So I think it's huge. I mean, to tell me that I can't come and represent my constituents would be very well heard, even if I'm not here. So I would expect you to have 10,000 people sitting outside the Capitol screaming that you didn't let me in, and I would support not putting Jimmy out either. Anyway, I think it's a huge step, and I'm not quite sure. You know, I know the Speaker has told us that he's not going to drag anybody out, but obviously, and I know somebody just mentioned that COVID panel hasn't done anything, but truthfully, we haven't really given them authority yet because we haven't passed these joint rules yet. But if we do, and again, the Speaker said that's not his intent, but if we pass this, then he can drag us out of the floor and tell us, nope, you can't vote today. Go find technology and hopefully it'll work.
Vice Chair Knutson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I do just want to bring up one little point of clarification between the Montana Constitution and the COVID panel authority here. In our joint rules here, the COVID panel has the authority to exclude members from physical participation. The Constitution takes a two-thirds vote to expel members from the legislature. So that's a big difference. With the ability to participate remotely, it is not just like you're getting booted out of the entire legislature. So I just wanted to make that distinction.
Are there any other questions from the committee? Oh, I'm sorry, Representative Patelis. It makes sense that we have to call on you. Everybody wants to kick you off. It's kind of strange.
Sorry. Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. Maybe a question. I've not been involved with rules much, but on page 5, under 1-50, number 2, it says proxy voting on third reading is discouraged unless a member is physically present and participating in a session or remotely present and participating in a session. Discourage, what does that still give somebody the option then to allow a proxy on third reading? Because it's discouraged?
That's an excellent question, sir. Let's take this apart. Let's take a strong look at it. The sentence reads, proxy voting on third reading is discouraged unless everything else after that, unless, occurs. So if a member is physically present and participating in the session or remotely present and participating in the session, if it's not one of those two, it's discouraged. And then also, since this is sub 2, let's look at the first one. A member's caucus leader may allow the member to participate remotely as provided in Joint Rule 140 and to vote by proxy except as provided in that sub 2. And sub 2 is just proxy. Voting by proxy in third reading may be authorized by a member's caucus leader only when a member is hospitalized.
Okay. I'm sorry.
And so I think if you read all that together, it really is saying basically we really want you present or at least voting online.
Good explanation, Mr. Chairman. Thank you.
Thank you. I agree that when you look at that, it could have been written better. It could have been written better, but I think when taken as a whole, did that lead to any additional questions? All right, well, I'll throw my 2 cents in on this. I agree to that concern. I totally do. And yet, I think, one, that if the COVID panel told me that I could not participate in person, I would fight it. I would show up the next day, see what they could do to me. I know many of us would do the exact same thing. I also know all 8 people on that committee, and I'm quite confident that 6 of them would not do that. One of them is present in the room. And so even though I understand that the language of the rules will allow it, I think the very practicality of the session and the interaction of our leadership, that this will never actually happen. And so although I am concerned by it, I don't think it would affect me because I don't think they have the authority, COVID panel or not. And third, I don't think leadership would ever do that to one of us. So in my mind, I think everything else in the rules is acceptable, and I'm going to vote for it, although I do understand your objection. Are there any other questions before we go to the vote? All right, seeing none, I definitely think this is time for a roll call vote. So if you would, please, Ms. Williams.
Vice Chair Casey Knutson.
Yes.
Vice Chair Ferris Olson.
No.
Representative Abbott.
No.
Representative Beard.
Yes.
Representative Burgley.
Aye.
Representative Bishop.
No.
Representative Gunderson.
Aye by proxy.
Representative Hamilton. Was it a no?
Was that a no, sir?
It was a no.
Thank you. Representative Rhonda Knutson.
Yes.
Representative Lenz.
Aye.
Representative Patelis.
Aye by proxy.
Representative Matt Regeer.
No.
Representative Sheldon Galloway.
Yes.
Representative Stuart Paraguay.
No.
Representative Sullivan.
No.
Representative Cheetah.
No.
Representative Usher.
Yes.
And Chair Skies.
Yes.
Oh, Representative Harvey, you're not on. Oh, sorry. Representative Harvey.
No.
I'm sorry, I'm coming up with a tie, and that's not possible. No.
Public school.
Berkeley, Bishop, Gunderson is yes by proxy.
Yes by proxy.
Thomas, yes. Okay. So it's 9 are yes. Sorry, 10 are yes and 9 are no.
That's correct. That's what I thought I... All right, thank you, Ms. Williams. The Senate Joint Resolution number 1 passes. That closes the hearing on SJR 1. We'll read it across the rostrum tomorrow and get that one flying. Now, I know many of you are talking about, hey, how come we're not doing House Resolution number 2? We had some concerns about an adjustment in membership that was suggested. There's been a lot of discussion about the current rule set that we're operating under and if that's allowed without a vote from the floor. And so since we have one more hurdle to jump through, we're not going to do House rules today. But I'm going to game the system like we always do here, and I'm going to call us on recess. Since we've already noticed the meeting, we can continue the meeting tomorrow. That'll allow us to do some actions tomorrow on the floor where the remedy for this is. There is no remedy for this in this committee by the power that we have or by me as a chair. So we will address this on the floor tomorrow, and then we'll continue our meeting tomorrow afternoon. I'm not quite sure, since we're running by the seat of our pants, exactly when and where that will be. I will make that announcement on the floor. I think it'll be maybe at 4 o'clock tomorrow afternoon, maybe in this room, maybe in the room next door. I got to see what the sergeant can get us. Are there any questions as to what we're going to do?
Chair Skies.
Yes, Vice Chair.
Representative Harris Olson. I just want to make sure that we'll be using the same Zoom link we used today. It took me a while to get for today's meeting. So if we could just make sure it's the same link, or if you get us a new one promptly, that would be helpful for me to get out to my caucus members.
Excellent. I can't say for sure that it will be. I will try hard to make it that way. That way it's easy for the committee, but I will make a commitment to you and all the folks that participate on Zoom that I will get it out to you as fast as I can if it's different.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. Appreciate it.
Excellent. Any other questions? All right. With that, I'm going to recess House Rules. Thank you, folks.